even as we wait for this big storm to hit New York, we're looking at events around the world. Yesterday, parliamentary elections were held in Greece. Results indicate a decisive victory for the left coalition Syriza party, taking a projected 149 seats out of 300. Syriza is the coalition of the radical left, a party that has been the second largest party in Greek parliament since 2012, functioning as the main opposition party to ruling New Democracy. Under New Democracy, there have been a series of European bailouts that have resulted in severe austerity policies in Greece. Syriza was brought to victory on a promise to change that. The party's leader, Alexis Spiras, has promised to renegotiate the 240 billion euro international bailout deal, seek forgiveness for most of Greece's massive debt load. He's pledged to reverse many of the reforms that the so-called troika of creditors, the European Union, the European Central Bank, and the IMF have demanded, including cuts in pensions and the minimum wage, privatizations, and public sector firings. Despite implementing these policies, the bailouts of Greece have gone only to allowing the countries to continue to pay the interest on its existing debt and have caused economic turmoil for Greece's people. A quarter of the country's economy has been wiped out, unemployment stands above 25%, and average income losses during the crisis have been at least 30%. Speaking to a crowd gathered last night in Athens, as exit polls indicated last night's victory, Spiras told the crowd, "It is the end of austerity. The troika has no future in this country." The international financial establishment has predictably reacted with alarm, and there are many questions now about the place of Greece within the European system and its ability to chart a new course under this new leadership. Joining us now to talk about this victory and what it means for the future of Greece is Nantina Vagontsas, a Greek-American PhD student in sociology at NYU, focused on political economy and social movements. She's active in the labor movement here and is currently a member of the UAW Graduate Student Organizing Committee, along with me. She lived and worked in Athens for a year following the 2012 elections, observing a variety of political and social movements. And this summer, she'll be in Greece again to study the developments in the labor movements amidst the transformation of the party system. Nantina, good morning. Thanks for waking up with us this morning.
Hello, comrade Christy. Thanks for having me.
Always so great to have my friends and comrades here on the radio. Luckily, we have you as an expert on the political situation in Greece, which is, of course, very complicated. First, I just want to get your reaction to this victory by Syriza. What does it mean for the people of Greece?
Well, first and foremost, I'm really excited by this development and what it implies for the balance of power in Europe. You know, it's one way to put it is that this election starts the test of institutionalizing anti-austerity politics in the guinea pig of shock austerity politics during the continued crisis in Europe. And this crisis in Greece has been experienced as a depression with levels of miseration that are commensurate with the U.S. depression in the 1930s. You've given a slew of facts that show what the Greek people have been through in the past decade. Mm-hmm. And Tsipras, in addition to what you said in his speech yesterday, said that Greece is leaving behind the destructive austerity, fear, and authoritarianism, is leaving behind 5 years of humiliation and pain. So, right, in addition to this massive degradation of living and work standards, people in Greece collectively have experienced, you know, this sense of social catastrophe and political crisis. One of the things Syriza really has oriented its campaign around this past 2 years is that it's addressing the crisis of democracy in Greece. Mm-hmm. And that this is the only way to deal with the crisis of democracy, to refuse to continue with this politics of austerity.
I'm so glad that you brought up this issue of Greek democracy. That's obviously been a huge part of the mobilizations that have been going on, the way in which the people of Greece feel as though they've been shut out of the decision-making that has gone into these crisis policies. So talk about the popular mobilizations that led to this victory. What has been the role of activism in the streets in bringing about this political change? What about the youth movements, the connection of Syriza to the other social movements in Greece? Talk about the sort of connection of the political mobilizations and this resurgence of democracy.
Yeah, I mean, I consider that to be the crux of Syriza's rise to power, and it's going to be critical for its ability to move out of the crisis. So we can actually look at popular movements preceding the crisis. The 2000s in Greece saw a variety of social movements, especially by youth, most significantly in 2006-2007, university students occupied their universities for several months at several periods of that academic year in protest of attempts at privatizing higher education. Then in 2008, many in the U.S. might remember that there was a month in which Greek youth basically took over the streets in Athens in protest of a police killing of a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, pointed to larger frustrations, especially with the fact that many youth were experiencing unemployment at the time. At this point, youth are experiencing above 60% unemployment levels.
Wow.
But, you know, even before the crisis, the level was very high, as it has been in Spain. And then moving into that, you know, the crisis hit in 2009, and in 2010, that's when the government tried to impose the first set of austerity measures with this memorandum with the EU, European Central Bank, and IMF Troika, as they call it in Greece. And that sparked, you know, a wave of general strikes that for 2 years amounted to 40 days lost to general strikes. That, of course, you know, didn't stop the austerity measures, and there was kind of a lull period until the summer of 2011 again, when people occupied the squares in relation and reaction to really the Indignados movement in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
That was also at the height of the passing of further austerity measures. And again, you know, the movement wasn't able to stop that, but it deepened the sense that people are resisting to austerity, that this isn't just a testing ground for austerity, but it's a testing ground for resistance to it. All throughout that year, there were continued general strikes, but also new forms of social mobilization that we hadn't seen as much in Greece before. You know, people were responding in the municipalities, they were holding assemblies in their neighborhoods, they were responding to, for instance, the privatization of a gold mine in northern Greece. There was an occupation of a factory that had been closed down, similar to what we had seen in Argentina in the crisis in 2001. So there were these new kinds of movements that were emerging, other kind of solidarity networks, you know, kind of food, health clinics that we also see in saw in Argentina at that point.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that was, you know, there was a crisis of, and it wasn't even, you know, during the crisis, but prior to it, was of the trade movement, trade union movement, which of course we've seen around the world. And just in terms of the fact that the trade union movement has had a difficult time responding to all the various kinds of changes in the Greek labor system. And during the crisis, of course, that was exacerbated by basically the termination of collective bargaining agreements and, you know, all the various kinds of degradations of working standards.
These various political movements eventually culminated in sort of the creation of the coalition that became the party Syriza, and they won parliamentary seats in 2012. You know, one of the things that I've learned from you is the extent to which the political landscape in Greece is so complex, and there are of course a number of partisan splits. There has been so much talk in the lead up to this election that happened yesterday about Syriza undergoing a kind of movement to the center, away from more radical positions. And just this morning, of course, it's being reported that in order to form a governing coalition, they are projected to win 149 seats, but that's not a majority. They're forming a coalition with the right-wing Independent Greeks Party, which is also anti-austerity, but not with them on a number of other policies. So I wonder if you can talk about what this coalition means, about this perception of Syriza moving sort of to the right, and about what the parties that consider themselves kind of to the left of Syriza, how they are reacting to this victory.
Well, Syriza is a child of the left, and it is the Greek left. One thing that it had, you know, decided even prior to the crisis was that it would never enter into the sorts of coalitions that Social Democrats had entered into, and that had led to, you know, the own neoliberalization of those parties. And that allowed it in 2012, you know, after these popular mobilizations expressed that people weren't happy with these measures, that they had a kind of call for anti-austerity politics. Of course, you know, the Greek landscape, as you noted, is very complex, and sometimes it takes a long time for the left to get together. And the left party that has, you know, entered parliament, as it consistently has in the post-war period after, you know, being legalized, is the Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
And Syriza had split off from them.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, party that's most dominant, Syriza, split off from the Communist Party in the early 90s. And you know, they view Syriza's approach to be very reformist and to not actually get to the root of the matter. So, yeah, unfortunately, it's had to find friends in other and less ideologically compatible parties. And in addition to that, you know, the two things that I would point to that have, you know, given to this perception they moved to the center is around the issue of exiting the Eurozone and of nationalizing the banks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prior to these past 2 years, when it became the opposition party, you know, they didn't say it so clearly that they wouldn't move unilaterally on that issue, meaning that if the EU, if the negotiations with the EU fail, it won't by itself exit the Eurozone to default and, you know, and then enter into a process of devaluing and nationalizing its banks. And so right tied to that is the fact that it's, you know, officially taken out the nationalization of banks from its program. And so a lot of people have questioned, you know, to what extent will Greece have political and economic autonomy if you take out these two, you know, very important bargaining chips in the first instance, and then in the second instance, what might be needed to actually terminate austerity in Greece.
So let's talk about that. What do you think the prospects are for actually reversing the austerity policies pursued under the previous government? Will this new government default on its debt or leave the Eurozone? You've mentioned that they've taken these out of the platform. How do you see these issues? And how do you think that a Syriza-led government will need to be pushed, not just by those who elected it, but, you know, by the entire left to accomplish these goals?
Well, at this point, its three main goals can be summarized as this. One, it wants to not cancel the debt, but renegotiate it, you know, restructure the debt. Two, it wants to break with austerity, and three, it wants to restore democracy. And I think really this third point, and as I mentioned in the beginning, is the one that it's oriented to the most. Because Syriza's strategy is ultimately one of changing the balance of power within the EU. And they're at this point less oriented around, for instance, switching to a new regime of accumulation or a different development strategy. And in fact, if you look at, you know, the writings of the economic advisors of Syriza, even prior to 2012, you know, they had a notion that in the 2000s, we shouldn't return to this kind of statist development where the state, you know, just comes in, takes control of investment and starts redirecting where investment goes and, you know, hopefully into productive activities. That's not what they're in the business of doing at this point. At this point, they just want to kind of, like, get rid of, you know, the massive corruption that exists in Greek politics, where you have, you know, a handful of oligarchs who get contracts with the government without any kind of discipline that they face. So they want to get rid of that. They want to get rid of tax evasion. And they say that by, you know, confronting their domestic bourgeoisie and by entering into negotiations with the EU in good faith, and also with the rise of other parties, for instance, Podemos in Spain, there's possibility for, in consolidating executive power, changing the balance of power in the EU and starting to represent, again, the interests of workers and other popular classes.
It is 7 a.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming on the web at WBAI.org. We are speaking to Nantina Vagonsas about the historic elections that happened this weekend in Greece. Nantina, you just brought up the implications for other places in Europe. So I want you to just very quickly, in the last few minutes that we have here, what do you think the implications are for Europe more generally? You mentioned the rise of Podemos in Spain. Do you think there's a shift that could happen in Europe as this economic crisis continues? And how do you expect this victory to change Europe more generally?
Well, as we're seeing with the rise of these two parties, in the midst of, you know, the continued decline of social democracy and the rise of neoliberal policy and really in a regime in Europe, you have the first response in the form of radical left parties. But again, you know, the big question for most people, and it's not just people on the left, you know, I've spoken to lots of people in Greece, the big question is not just saying that you're going to reverse austerity, but showing that there's a sustainable infrastructure in order to do so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are just a massive number of constraints. And most importantly, it's the fact that this notion of the EU is not going to kick out Greece because, one, you know, they operate by the rule of law, two, that they would be worried about a domino effect. You know, if Greece were to repudiate its debt, then Spain would follow, then Ireland would follow, maybe Portugal would get that idea too, and the Eurozone wouldn't be able to sustain that. Mm. We're not really sure. You know, they're giving us a lot of mixed signals. You know, one of the key things in the pre-electoral period was that Merkel said that, oh, we would be fine if Greece left the Eurozone after all, which was a very different message that they gave in 2012. So, of course, like, this is an indication that the financial industrial elites in Europe don't really know themselves how to deal with the crisis. What they know is that they don't want someone like Syriza or Podemos to emerge. But, you know, the constraints are very, very large. And I think what people should really be, if they're interested in this issue moving forward, what they should be reading are works by leading economists in Syriza, who are trying to articulate different growth strategies. Mm-hmm. One of them is Kostas Lapavitsos, and I'm very happy that he was added on Syriza's ticket. And it was kind of last minute because he had very controversial opinions within the party, namely the fact that Greece can exit out of the Eurozone, that there's a sustainable road for doing so, that it can impose capital controls if so, that it can nationalize the banks and key industries, that there won't be mayhem, that they can, you know, have a transitory program toward being sustainable, that, you know, the country just won't be, you know, without food in the supermarkets and medicines and fuel and all these kinds of things. You know, so there are people talking about that. And I think these key questions that, unfortunately, Syriza didn't bring up, you know, as part of its political strategy to not scare people too much, to actually infuse a kind of hope in this, you know, period of 5 years of just entire austerity and utter fear, you know. So at this point, they have to confront those questions and to move the Greek people and to, you know, see if they can really change the game without, you know, while getting popular support. And that's why popular mobilization is very important. That's why having a labor movement is important, because you're not going to be able to discipline your domestic bourgeoisie without having some kind of source of leverage on your own.
We have been speaking to Nantina Vagonsis on the situation in Greece with the victory of Syriza yesterday. Nantina will also be on a panel on Syriza victory with several other members of the New York-based Greek solidarity group AKNY on Friday, February 6th. That's going to be at NYU. Details can be found on the Campaign for Peace and Democracy's website at cpdweb.org. Nantina, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me, Christy.